Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you find almost halfway down Daf Tzadi Vov. Before continuing in the Gemara itself, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading, where we have written Machloikas Tanoim. There is a Tanaic controversy, Kamo Gid Hanoshe Tzrichim L'Salek. How much of this leg nerve that is known as the Gid Hanoshe, which is forbidden to eat, how much has to be removed? Kamo Meha Gid Oser. How much of it is actually forbidden? We might take note of the fact that the Gid Hanoshe is a nerve that emanates from the spine, running through the hind leg for quite a distance. We have mentioned in the past on numerous occasions while learning Maseches Chulin that we recommend learning it alongside with a book of illustrations, and we've been recommending the use of the book Sichas Chulin, authored by Amitai Ben David. Seeing the pictures will make these type of sugyas much more meaningful. Now the Mishnah. Hanoitel Gid Hanoshet Sorach Shito Es Kulo. He who is removing the Gid should remove it entirely. Reb Yehuda Omer Kedei V'Kayem Boi Mitzvas Netila. Reb Yehuda says that it's sufficient to remove a section of it, and with that alone, you fulfill the obligation. Oichel Migid Hanoshet Kezayas Sofeg Arboyim. One who eats an olive quantity of Gid Hanoshe, Sofeg Arboyim means he is liable to 40 lashes, which means Malkus. Ochloi ve'ein bo kezayis, chayov. If he eats Gid Hanoshe, and it doesn't have a kezayis, but he eats an entire Gid Hanoshe that doesn't have a kezayis quantity to it, or doesn't have an olive quantity to it, he nevertheless is guilty of Malkos. Rashi explains this is based on an opinion that holds a birya, a complete entity that happens to be forbidden, even if it lacks the standard olive quantity, nevertheless results in lashing. Ochal mizeh kezayas umizeh kezayas sofeg shmoinim. If a person eats from the right hind leg and the left hind leg Gid Hanoshe, an olive quantity of each, he's liable to two sets of Malkus. In other words, it's considered two penalties. Reb Yehuda Omer, Eino Sofeg Elor Arboyim. Reb Yehuda is of the opinion that it applies only to the right leg. Hence, his having eaten an olive quantity of Gid Hanoshe from the right leg warrants Malkus and not from the left leg. Bar Fiuli, this is a name. Have koi kamei de Shmuel v'kol menaker atmo. Bar Fiuli was in the presence of Shmuel, and he was menaker is a verb referring to the removal of forbidden sections of the animal. In this case, we're referring specifically to the removal of the Gid Hanoshe. So he was menaker atmo, a piece of meat, the thigh. He was removing Gid from the thigh. Have kogoyim lei. He was, goyim is an expression meaning indicating something superficial. In other words, he wasn't digging in to get every last bit of it. Rashi says, goyim lei k'Rabbi Yehuda, based on Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, lo hoya mechatet ela gomei milamala. He was taking off that which appeared above and not digging deep into the meat where it continues. Omer le Shmuel said chos beit fe. Hashtelos hazizoch safisali isura. Shmuel says, you got to dig in deeper, get more of the git out. And had I not seen you, you would have fed me something forbidden. Well, Barfuli, hearing this, got all shaken up. Irtis, he became fear struck. Nofas sakino miyadei. He got so frightened, petrified, that the knife he was using fell out of his hand. Amale Shmuel, seeing this, says, Lo tirtas, don't be so afraid. Rashi explains that what was bothering Barfuli is that Shmuel was regarding him, or he felt, let's put it that way, Barfuli felt that Shmuel was regarding him as an ignoramus. So Shmuel, in comforting him, says, I don't view you as an ignoramus, and certainly not as an evil person, but rather the Ori Loch, Kributa Ori Loch, whoever instructed you in the art of removing Gid Hanasha, taught you according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And I don't subscribe to that, and therefore I want you to remove more. But your behavior is not indicative of malpractice. Omer of Sheshes. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a little one. A few lines later, number two. These are two stages in appreciating or understanding what Rav Sheshes is saying. So Rav Sheshes says, "My deshoko barfuli, that which barfuli was removing, equals the oiraisa the Rav Yehuda." Was enough to fulfill a Torah requirement according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding. Now, when you say that he was fulfilling a Torah requirement, it leaves room to think that maybe there is an additional rabbinic requirement that he wasn't fulfilling. So, Michlal, are we to assume or to infer from this the Shire, the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yehuda? That which Rabbi Yehuda would in fact also forbid on a rabbinic level, elode orilei keman orilei. If that be the case, then whoever instructed Barfuli, according to whom was he instructing him? In other words, if you're telling me that Barfuli wasn't doing a complete job, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that all Barfuli was doing was that which Rabbi Yehuda regards as Torah forbidden, and that's all he was removing, but he wasn't removing that which Rabbi Yehuda would regard as rabbinically forbidden as well, so then Barfuli was behaving according to whom? So that is dismissed. Elom Rav Sheshes. Rather, a more accurate presentation of Rav Sheshes is as follows. My deshokal Barfuli, that which Barfuli was removing, de'oiraisa le'Rebbe Meir. That would fulfill the Torah expectation of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir being the more stringent opinion in this area. Umay deshir, and that which he didn't remove, that which he left in the leg, equals derabbonon the Rabbi Meir, would have been in violation of Rabbi Meir's rabbinic requirements. De'i Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you were to think along the lines of Rabbi Yehuda, afilu midrabbanan shari, that which Barfuli left behind would be allowed even on a rabbinic level, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So as far as we are concerned, what Rav Sheshes is telling us is that Barfuli was doing a complete job, Torah level and rabbinic level, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. If you want to say that Barfuli was leaving something behind, he was leaving behind that which Rabbi Meir would expect one to remove based on a rabbinic stringency. Ho'echel migid hanoshe v'chulei. Omar Shmuel, loy osro Torah, elo she'al hakaf bilvad. The kaf is a part of the animal's hind leg, which we've seen in previous sugyas, that has a rounded shape to it. And what is being said here is that even though the gid is very long and it extends beyond this kaf section of the leg, the Torah doesn't prohibit that. It prohibits only that which is on the kaf, on the rounded part of the leg. Shenemar, the pasuk says, al kaf hayerech. Omar of Popo Ketanoi. What Shmuel is saying is, in effect, a Tanaic controversy, and Shmuel's taking only one side. This will be explained as the Gemara goes on, and we won't see this so immediately until we get to Amud Beis. Rashi points out, Omar of Popo Ketanoi, Kedemeforish V'ozel, as will be explained as we go on, Derabonon Is Lehu Deshmuel, Rebuto Les Le Deshmuel. Rabbi, the Rabbonon will be the basis of Shmuel, and Rabbi Yehuda will not be his basis. Before going on in the Gemara, we want to make reference to our nosei, our topic heading, Haychocha de Dino Shmuel. The Gemara will try to prove that Shmuel's din, Shmuel's law, his teaching here is that namely de lo osra Torah ela shalak kaf, that the Torah prohibits only that which is on the rounded part, having machlokes tanoim. At this point will be a Tanaic controversy. The Gemara continues. Rav Papa pointing out that there is a Tanaic controversy concerning Shmuel's point. He cites a source, Ochloi ve'ein bo kezayis chayov. If one eats from the Gid Hanoshe, as we saw this quote coming from the Mishnah, that if he eats it and it doesn't have a kezayis to it, one will be chayov. That's based on the idea that it's a birya. So that we saw in the Mishnah. Now this the continuation. We did not see this expression in the Mishnah, but this is a Tanaic source all the same. It says Rav Yehuda Omer Ad Shehei Bo Kezayis. There is no lashing until there is a Kezayis. My time of the Rabbanon, based on what the Rabbanon say that there will be guilt, even for less than a kezayis, less than an olive quantity? Answer, birya he. It's a complete entity. So what the Rabbanon are describing is the consumption of a complete gid hanoshe. It may be very thin, and hence, when all curled up together, it doesn't come out to a kezayis in quantity, but nevertheless, it results in a punishment of malchus. Rebbe Yehuda, continuing on the top of Amud Beis, Rebbe Yehuda, you'll notice with our markings we squiggle underline the names. This is characteristic of a back and forth discussion, a give and take between two opinions. In order to keep track of the names, we use this marking. So Rebbe Yehuda says, I can't allow malchus for eating something that's less than a kezayis because achila ksivobei. The Torah uses the term achila, eating. And Rashi points out at the bottom of Omad Aleph that when you see the word achila, that is associated with an olive quantity and not less. Verabonon. Well, how do the Rabbonon grapple with this? After all, the word achila does appear. So the Rabbanan will tell you how he achila dechi isbe arba o v'chamisho zesim v'ochal chad kezayis mechayev. The Rabbanan say that has applicability to a case when you have a large gid that has 4 or 5 olive quantities of substance to it, and you eat 1 olive quantity of that large gid. That also results in a penalty, in violation, and hence punishable. However, this does not the achila, the presence of achila here does not rule out the eating of a complete gid that happens to lack a kezayis in quantity. That also will be culpable, according to the Rabbanan. The Rebbe Yehuda, me'asher al kaf hayerech nafka. Rebbe Yehuda will tell you that this idea of eating a part of the gid, even if it's not a complete gid. But eating a part of a gid, provided it has a kezias to it, one will be guilty. This Rabbeinu learns from Asher al Kaf HaYerech. We look in Rashi, Rabbeinu, Hahu lo itzrich lashminen. I don't need Achila to tell me this idea that eating part of a gid results in a punishment. De me'asher al Kaf HaYerech nafka. From that I learn that even partial gid consumption can result in punishment. De lo bo'inon ad ochel elukulei. From the pasuk al Kaf HaYerech I realize that you don't have to eat the whole thing, and if the whole thing happens to be 4 or 5 olive quantities, you wouldn't be chayv until you eat the whole thing. That I don't need the achila pasuk for. That I learned from Asher al Kaf HaYerech. Even if all you ate was on the rounded part, one would be chayav. Buvachite shom achila, or shame achila, provided it has it can be categorized as achila, namely a kezias. So Rabbi Yehuda uses me'asher al kaf hayerech to teach me that there is guilt even if one eats partial gid. Rabbi Yehuda does not use Asher al Kaf HaYerech for identifying location of gid. For Rabbonon, Hahu, they respond and say, Hahu, that posuk of Asher al Kaf HaYerech miboy alei lichri Shmuel. They need that for Shmuel's point. The Omar Shmuel lost her Torah el Asher al Kaf HaYerech. The Torah prohibits only that which is on the rounded part. The Rabbi Yehuda, well, what does Rabbi Yehuda say regarding location? So Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent than this Chachomim, and he says, Hayerech ksiv, dekulo yerech. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the presence of forbidden gid is not limited to the part that's al kaf yerech, the rounded part, but wherever the gid appears, if one eats from it, one will be chayav. So he learns that from HaYerech, which indicates along the entire leg, namely not only that which is on the rounded part. The Rabbonon, well, what do the Rabbonon say about that? What do they do with HaYerech? They say, Hahu deposhet isurei bekulo yerech. They use the word HaYerech to identify the nerve that is forbidden in the first place. In other words, Hayerech helps to identify which nerve we're talking about, but not the extent of the nerve. And when we speak about identifying which nerve, which gid, that's lafuke chitzon delo. The Hayerech expression, as far as the Rabbonin are concerned, helps me to tell, to identify that we're talking about the panimi, the nerve facing the inside of the leg, as opposed to that which faces the outside of the leg, which is on the outer part of the leg. That is not guilty. However, l'oilom shal hakaf. However, as far as the Rabbonon are concerned, it is only the part of the gid hapnimi, this inner gid that happens to be on the rounded section of the thigh. The Gemara asks, but is it not true v'hai kaf miboyale lemute oif, the less lay kaf? Is it not so that the posuk of kaf is needed to exclude birds? In other words, it's not here to identify the location of gid, prohibited section of gid. It has a different role. It's here to exclude birds. In other words, nerves in bird legs are totally allowed because they don't have a kaf. The Gemara answers, trei kaf ksivi. I have an additional kaf word for our purposes. In other words, one kaf will exclude birds, and the other kaf helps to teach what we are using it for in our discussion. For example, according to the Rabbanon, they use it to identify the location of the ka, of the gid that happens to be prohibited, like Shmuel taught. So from this discussion, we see that that Shmuel's teaching that the Torah prohibits the section of the gid that's on the kaf, this conforms only to the opinion of the Rabbanan. According to Reb Yehuda, the prohibited section of gid extends beyond that which is on the kaf alone. We now are about to start a Mishnah which figures very prominently in the area of laws of kashrus when it comes to issues of cooking and the mixing of prohibited with allowed foods. Under what circumstances does the presence of a prohibited food substance render the entire dish, the entire pot, as being prohibited? So, and that's in a rather, we'll call it engaging or extensive area of daily halacha, and this is one of the primary sources for that area of understanding. The note we have on the side under our no say heading, we've noted Eich Misharim B, and we have how do we calculate? How do we make calculations or estimations regarding different mixing situations? One of them is Yerech Shenizbasha Bogid. Imagine a leg, a thigh of an animal from which the gid was not removed, and then you took this whole piece of leg and put it in a pot and cooked it up. How are we to judge such a case? Another situation, Gid Hanoshe Shenizbashel Begidim. You had just the nerve itself, the formal Gid Hanoshe, that happened to be cooked together with other Gidim, other nerves that are allowed to be consumed. How do you deal with a situation like that? And another situation, Chatichas Iser Shenizbashelim Chatichas Heter. If you had a cut of meat that was happened to be unkosher, and you cooked it together with other chunks of meat that were kosher. Or you could have that with fish, a piece of unkosher fish cooked together with kosher fish. Does the presence of the forbidden render the entire pot, the entire quantity, prohibited? The Mishnah. Yerech shenizbashil bo gid hanoshe, a thigh from which the gid was not removed, and it was cooked together with its gid. Im yesh bo benosein tam, hare zu asura. If there is the ability of communicating the taste, of transferring or passing the taste of that which is forbidden into that which is otherwise not forbidden, in other words, if the meat that surrounds the gid would absorb forbidden taste, that renders all of the meat forbidden. Ketzad misharin osa. How are we to calculate this? Kebosar belefes. This requires a certain amount of imagination. You have to view in your mind's eye the bosar. If you have, let's say, 10 pounds of meat that are in this thigh, imagine it as 10 pounds of lefes. Lefes is a type of vegetable. And we've mentioned many times in our shiurim that we don't attempt to offer translations to fruits and vegetables and other items that we don't have a very strong tradition on how to translate. But if one is interested, so there are a lot of very fine works of translation that one can look into. But in the context of our shiurim, other than very common terms, we leave untranslated. In this case, we'll refer to it as a vegetable called lefis. So we are to imagine the 10 pounds of meat as if it's 10 pounds of lefis. The numbers we're giving are just a mere for example purposes. And the gid, we would imagine as if it is meat. And the question would be, can the egid quantity, if it were actual meat as opposed to a nerve, if this equivalent quantity as meat would be able to impart a meaty taste to the lephis, having the same mass or same quantity as, in fact, the thigh, then the yerech in this case would be prohibited. Let us glance at the Rashi. Kaboser belefes royin kiilu hayerech liftos. We have to imagine the thigh meat as if it's lefes, a type of vegetable. Vahagid, and we are to imagine the gid hanoshe as if it were bosar. Viilu hayo noisein tam habosar kishir hagid beliftos. If and a quantity of meat equal to this to the quantity of gid that we that is present would impart its taste into the lephis. The lephis, as we said, having the same quantity as the thigh. Hayerech osur. The shiurin halacha l'moshe miSinai. The whole realm of quantities is something that's based on an oral tradition. Ugemiri, and the tradition tells us debahochi misharinon, that this is the way to calculate. The afalpi sheilu hoya kruvo kaflut, even if the thigh were to be imagined as other kinds of vegetables like kruv or kaflut, hoyotzorach pochos or yoser, you would have to have either more or less in order to perceive the meaty taste of meat cooked together with kruv or kaflut. That is of no concern to us. The oral tradition says that the calculation is to be based on this meat lefes relationship. Let us continue in the Mishnah. Gid hanoshe shenizbashil im hagidim. The gid hanoshe, which is a forbidden nerve, is if it were to be cooked with other gidim, allowed gidim. Bisman shemakiro benosei tam. If you recognize the gid hanoshe, then what you're expected to do is pull it out of the pot. That, of course, is forbidden. And the rest of the gidim, we would have to imagine, would this quantity of gid be able to impart taste to this quantity of allowed gidim that you happen to have in the pot? V'im lav, if you don't recognize the gid hanoshe, kulon asurin, then they're all forbidden. Rashi points out, based on the Gemara later on, this is called imparting of taste in a min bimino situation, and therefore they are all usur. Rashi says, kulon asurin, lekamen mefarsh denosin tam bimin bimino she'en olam yochol afino sheru b'shishim. Rashi is adding a point here which needs to be analyzed quite a bit more extensively, that if you would have 60 times the gid, then 60 times the quantity of the gid, then it would be allowed. V'horotev benoy saint tam. The rotev is the gravy, would become usur, become forbidden, only if the gid would have been capable of imparting taste into it. V'chein chaticho shel nevela, v'chein chaticho shel dag. We should just, before going further, we must emphasize once again that what we're explaining right now in the Mishnah is to be taken with a certain amount of reservation until we get into the sugyas later on, which spell out matters in greater detail. The Mishnah tells us, V'chein chaticho shel nevela, v'chein chaticho shel dag tomesh, nizbashlim chatichos. If you have a piece of unacceptable meat, nevela meat, unkosher meat, or a piece of unkosher type fish that's cooked together with other pieces that happen to be kosher, So Bisman Shemakira Benosei Tam, if you recognize the forbidden piece, you would take that out and then estimate, did this piece impart its unkosher taste into the rest of the pot? The im lav, if you don't recognize it and it remains in there with the rest of them, so kulon asuros, they're all forbidden, because at any given piece might be the forbidden piece. V'roitev benoy sein tam, and as we said before, the gravy, which is not actual meat but it's the gravy, that will be usur if the unacceptable, the unkosher meat would have been capable of imparting a taste into that quantity of gravy. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin called Nosei, and we've written Hevdel Bein Gid Shenizbashel LeGid Shenitzle B'Soch Yerech. We're going to make a distinction between the thigh that's cooked with the gid in it versus a thigh that's roasted with the gid in it. Omar Shmuel Loi Shonu Elo Shenizbashel Bo. The teaching of the Mishnah that says that we have to make an estimation, would the gid, had it been meat, been capable of imparting taste, had the rest of the yerech been lefes, and if it would have been, then the entire thigh will be usser. This is true only if we're talking about a case that the thigh was cooked. Cooked means it was immersed in water, in a pot on the fire. Avol, nitzle ba. However, if the preparation method was different, it was nitzle, roasted with the, in other words, the thigh was roasted with the gid in it. Koylef v'oichel ad shemagia legid. You can cut away or peel away layer after layer of meat and eat it until you get to the gid itself. What we're basically saying is that taste does not spread when you're dealing with a roasting of it. When you're dealing with a cooking, we're saying taste does spread. When you're dealing with roasting, the taste is confined and contained to the forbidden section itself. The Gemara asks, is this really so? Amy, is that so? Vamar avuna, gedi shetzoloi bechelboi, osur leachol afilu meirosh oznoi. If you have a gedi, a goat, that you roasted with the what Rashi calls here chelev hakloyus, you roasted it with the fats that are attached to its kidneys, and you left them in the animal, and you put the whole thing on a rotisserie, and roasted it like that. You cannot eat from that goat even till its ears, which is a way of saying that the forbidden taste, the chelev, spreads throughout the entire animal, even though we're talking about a roasting. So that's the kasha. That's a problem that's against Shmuel. The Gemara at the top of Daf Tzadi Zion says, Shaini chelev de mifapea. Chelev is different than gid. Chelev spreads. It might be imagined as maybe an oily type consistency, or it's oily substance. And as you know, oil spreads throughout its environment much more so than would be the case of the gid. The Gemara, as it continues, which we will, Amir Tzashem, do during our next shiur, will question this and raise, is it really so that just because we're dealing with chelev, there is naturally spreading? We will see information that would seem to counter that. So Amir Tzashem, in our next shiur, we will take up that point. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.